This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiologists' extended learning series featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You're about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, you will have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access to your mobile device. And each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/AXL. Listen now to a talk Noel Barry-Murs had with Dr. Ron Waxman, Associate Director of the Division of Cardiology at the MedStar Washington Hospital Center. They're discussing LRP, assessment of coronary near-infrared spectroscopy to detect vulnerable plaques and vulnerable patients.
Welcome, Ron.
Thank you for having me.
So why are we revisiting the vulnerable plaque issue? Tell me about that.
So the issue of the vulnerable plaque and the vulnerable patient are very controversial. But we do know that patients, despite best medical therapy, continue to have events subsequently to their intervention. So in this case, we're really focusing on patients who already had the primary event, they have been treated for the event. What we're trying is to prevent the second event, but we do know that those events are existing. So the question that we ask, is there any intravascular imaging technology that has the ability to predict future events related to a plaque or that related to the patient? These are basically the premise or the unmet need of this study.
So you are using this optical coherence. I'm going to have you describe the technology, but this is something that the hypothesis is that it's a better tool for detecting something that really causes events. So tell us about that technology.
Yeah, we are using a NIRS spectroscopy combined with IVUS. It's one console that have both the imaging technologies, but the focus of this study is on the near-infrared spectroscopy. This technology can distinguish between lipid-rich core and those who does not have lipid-rich core or lipid core burden of index, which we called LCBI. The technology able to scale the presence or absence of this LCBI and scale it from 0 to 1,000 in the event that you indeed have lipid core burden index within the artery.
And 1,000 is bad.
The higher you have, we speculate it is probably associated with more events.
And so it's more of a chemical assay as opposed to anatomical. Is that a fair thing to say? And that's why it's more accurate?
That is correct. We call it chemogram.
Good.
I think it's a very easy term to use. And we'd like to see that patients with chemogram, can they detect or predict future events?
Great. All right. So tell me now about the study. Give us an idea of sample size and how you selected and followed them for events.
Yes, so the question obviously was to see whether the use of NIRS can predict vulnerable patient and vulnerable plaque. In order to do the study, we enrolled about 1,563 patients after we screened over 5,000 patients.
1,500 or 5,000?
1,563.
Good. Very good.
Of these, 11 patients, we didn't have good analyzable segments, so they were excluded. And the remaining 1552 all underwent this technology, and the operator was actually blinded to the chemogram. They didn't know what the patient had. All those chemograms were sent to a central core lab, and all the patients who had LCBI greater than 250 were assigned to follow up to 2 years for clinical events, and those who had less than 250 were randomized whether to follow or not to follow. So altogether, we had 1,271, I believe, patients that were assigned to follow for 734 days post the imaging.
All right. And your major adverse events were?
So we looked on death. We looked on MI, on revascularization, PCI or CABG, and also readmission because of unstable angina with evidence of progression of disease more than 20% on the plaque suspected area.
Okay, great. And what did you find?
So what we found is that indeed the near spectroscopy can detect both vulnerable patient and vulnerable plaque. So for the vulnerable plaque patient hypothesis, we found that every increase of 100 points of LCBI can increase the risk for subsequent event in 18%. The hazard ratio of that was 1.18. We also have a cut point, which we pre-specified. The number was 400. And when we analyzed patients who had more than 400 and less than 400 for the patient level, we did found that if you have more than 400, your event rate would be 12.6 over the 2 years. If you have less than 400, the event rate was 6.3, which another way to say it, you have a 85% chances more to have an event if you had more than 400. So that summarized the patient level hypothesis.
A pretty substantial increase, particularly for the yes, no of 400. It's a doubling of event rate.
Correct. And those events were real. I mean, we had cardiac death, cardiac arrest, we had revascularization, we had STEMI, we had non-STEMI. So this is real events.
Mm-hmm.
Then we looked at the plaque level. So the plaque level was supposed to tell us whether this specific plaque where you see high LCBI is really corresponding to the event specifically. And what we found that the increase of 100 points of LCBI for the plaque level would be associated with increase of 45% for subsequent event. That gives you about hazard ratio of 1.45. And if we look at the cut point of 400, those who had more than 400 versus less than 400 in the plaque level, it was increase of 411% in the chances to have another event for that specific plaque. So that obviously was highly statistically significant.
So the study was positive in terms of clinically relevant and statistically significant increased risk prediction for both a vulnerable patient and a vulnerable plaque.
That is correct.
All right. And was this done without complications? There were these fairly large catheters going up and down these arteries?
So we scanned about 2.1 arteries in average for those vessels. The complication rate was detected in 4 patients, which is 0.3%. There were not like serious complications. So I think we can declare safety of the device. And it's also easy to do. It's almost like plug and play. You get the chemogram very quickly.
Of course, all of these patients should be treated with guidelines. They're secondary prevention patients. But as we start to decide how to use our more expensive options, PCSK9 inhibitors, offset by the cost of this catheter, what would you tell guidelines writers today?
So maybe I will be more humble and tell the guidelines people what to do, but I think we have to recognize that for the first time we have a reliable tool to potentially discriminate patients who should be treated more aggressively, for example, PCSK9 or high-dose statins versus patients that are probably not at high risk. But we still have to go through this process to show that we're indeed wiping out this high LCBI. And the second thing, by doing that, we're indeed reducing the event rate. So we still have a long way to go, but I think that what we can start to call for near spectroscopy guided therapy for patients who are already in the lab for potentially identify therapeutic targets and identify who is at risk.
Okay. And my understanding is there is a clinical trial ongoing in Europe now that is testing. Tell me about that.
Correct. So the test study is called PECMAN, and it is using also the NEARS, and patients are basically receiving the PCSK9, but they are blinded to the chemogram. So at the end of the day, when the study is complete, we would be able to say that if indeed PCSK9 was able to reduce the LCBI, it's not about power to event, but just to show that this is a very good marker that can be affected by this therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. This is an exciting new technology. Thanks for joining us on Axel.
Thanks for having me.
This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/Axel.